Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Our guest this week, Ted Phillips, who has spent many years investigating trace cases involving paranormal activity, concentrating for nearly 12 years on the Marley Woods case, located in the U.S. Our co-host this week is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, Ted, this sounds like one of those once-in-a-lifetime cases that really do deserve the amount of time that you've spent and the actual putting together a team, getting a budget, getting the kinds of gear together and people to customize software, the type of approach that warms my heart. There's not enough people out there in the field that are going the extra mile to do the quality of work that you're doing. Now, you mentioned early on that we had some other parallels with the Sherman Ranch case in Utah, the popularly known as the Skinwalker Ranch. Now, how about the animal death correlation? You mentioned this horrific event that occurred some years back in 2003. Have there been any attendant cattle mutilation cases or livestock death cases in the area? Has the ranch itself experienced these cases, or have you seen some sort of spillover into the, let's say, the farming and ranching community around this particular locale?
Mm-hmm. Well, as a matter of fact, there have been numerous cattle mutilations, and in one case, four Angus bulls were taken down, and that would be a pretty good task. I don't quite know how you would do that, but and there have been events 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, there were events involving horses, a herd of horses, and cattle, different ranches about 4 miles apart. One of the most interesting of these cases was six calves, and they were all in perfect health when the owner would leave the ranch. And this place is locked up. You don't drive in on it and do all that. And the people around the area watch very closely. If they don't know you, you're not going to get anywhere on any of the property. And I totally can understand that. Luckily, they know me. Yeah. But anyway, the six calves, over a period of 2 weeks, he would come out in the morning, and the mother would be standing there over the previously very healthy calf, which was reduced to skeletal remains, nothing inside the skeleton, nothing outside left. And no distension of the skeleton. In other words, nothing broke it apart or injured the skeletal structure. In each of the six cases, which were all repeats of that over a couple of weeks, there would be found a 10-foot depressed ring. And 10-foot seems to be the thing, soup of the day for traces over there, because everyone that I've seen measured an exact 10 feet circular, and with the central area not damaged. And as a matter of fact, one that I was over there and one of the ranchers was cutting hay, and he comes up to the cabin and he says, "Well, you're going to hate me, Ted." He said, "I ran over a ring." And they're not always exactly a ring. Some of them are ovals, and some of them are depressed and swirled throughout, and some with the center still standing. This one was depressed throughout, and it made me depressed because he ran over it and cut it down. He couldn't get stopped in time. So the cattle stuff goes on, you know, and the problem again is when something like that happens, the witness is reluctant. He wants to wants to believe that he can take care of it himself somehow.
Yeah.
And so finally, recently he told me, he said, I please help me and help me find out how to stop this. So I think cooperation is going to allow us he will tell me instantly about a light or if he finds tracks or something. But he's very sensitive about the animals that are killed. Yeah. And I can understand that. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I know very well how difficult it is to get ranches to come forward in a timely manner. There is a stigma attached to these cattle deaths in the ranching community. I don't care who you are studying this. That's one thing that I think we'll both agree on. He does, I'm sure, he is aware the importance of you and the gear being on site in a timely manner so that we can.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about physical evidence here that we could glean all sorts of information from if we're told of the case. So,
yes.
You know, I'm hoping for your sake and for the sake of moving this whole investigation forward that the ranching community there in the area is aware of the real importance of the timely nature of being on site. Now, you mentioned these depressions, Ted. Structured craft. What sort of structured craft have been seen in the area? Or is this something that has been reported? You're talking about rings that seem to indicate some sort of physical presence of nuts and bolts type phenomena. What about structured craft?
Well, you know, there are not a lot of reports of structured craft. Generally, they're brilliantly illuminated things. There have been several cases, in which deputies would see a bus-sized object, which was kind of a stubby cigar configuration, fly over very slowly and quietly and so on. And on one occasion, an object that five witnesses estimated to be 300 feet long was seen, and it was again a cylindrical thing, and the underneath was covered with a gazillion tiny white lights, and the shape could be seen as it blocked out the stars, and it was a dark object, obviously, and I do have video of that. It doesn't show much except that something really odd was there and big, because you can see the lights but not a shape of the object. And the cool thing is it appears first in the east, and it flies slowly over, not at a high altitude, and they watch it, and as it passes just to the west of the ranch, it suddenly splits in half. The one half continues moving along the trajectory, and the second half peels off to the left, to the south, and flies away to the south, and is seen by four more witnesses 20 miles south as it flies over their place, their farm. Now, that's some pretty weird stuff there.
Yeah.
And that many witnesses, and these are extremely reliable people. You see, not one. I have on file 224 witnesses in this area, and not one has ever gone public. So you don't make up a bunch of big fat lies and keep them to yourself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that goes a long way for credibility with me. And these are just people who are trying to get on with their lives, which in some cases are being very much disrupted by this stuff. And, there is no question it's going on. And, it's the first place in 46 years of research that I've actually been able to see, objects that I couldn't identify. And so it's pretty important to me.
Yeah, well, it's really good that you're able to have a team that's going to be helping you monitor, because this sounds like a major full-time job for a number of people. Now, you mentioned that recently there's been these appearances of what appear to be fantastic sort of animal forms. You want to get into that a little bit and give us an idea of what people are reporting?
I'll tell you what, Ted, let's do that and hold that for our next section. We'll talk about the strange animal scene in connection with what's going on at Marley Woods. Our guest this week is Ted Phillips. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
You are about to enter another dimension. a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a sinister land of secret rites, passwords, initiations, and handshakes. But the truth remains hidden, and history is controlled by an elite group of mysterious men. Imagine, if you will, that I'm holding a book in my hands that explains this secret history, and that the name of this book is Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier. Here is described centuries of dark dealing, lies, murder, mayhem, and cover-ups in the pursuit of unimaginable money and power. My name is Brad Steiger, and the stories you are about to read may have actually happened at the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jesus.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Our guest this week is Ted Phillips, co-host Chris O'Brien, who's been there himself and has done lots of on-scene investigations. He's not someone who just sits in the armchair and writes books about it. He writes the books and he does the research. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So, Ted, as we broke for our last segment, we were asked a question about strange creatures seen in connection with the research into Marley Woods. What are we talking about here? Are we talking about Sasquatch things or like that? Or are we talking about maybe entities seen in connection with UFO cases?
Well, it's actually quite different from the Bigfoot things, which I've been really reluctant to accept as valid. I shouldn't be, I guess. You know, the main argument is, well, why don't we find traces of them? Well, tracks, footprints have been found, and I've seen a lot of casts, which are extremely interesting. But I wondered, as the years went by at Marley, why there are very few, if any, reports of humanoids, and which generally goes along, you know, over a period of years with this stuff. Well, they're starting, and which is one of the things that is very interesting to me.
Starting.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
What do you mean by
yeah.
that?
Well, we've had a handful, not many, a handful of humanoid observations. I think probably the folks, the witnesses involved, would be even reluctant to tell me if they saw something human-like. I think more and more of them are becoming a little more comfortable as the reports come in. In other words, it's not just me. And, you know, if they can find some companionship in other witnesses, it makes them a little more comfortable. But first of all, the animal. It'll be 2 years ago this fall that one of the ranchers out watching his cattle herd saw two large white, as he described them, dogs. And I knew when he was telling me about it, it had to be something really odd because he's seen plenty of dogs. And I said, well, what was odd about it? And he said, well, they had really long white hair. And he said it was so long that it shifted as they took a step and the color would change, kind of like an iridescent effect. And he said, and the size. And I said, well, how big? And he said, well, 400 pounds. And I said, this is a dog? And he said, 400 pounds. I have an old English sheepdog that's 150, and if she was 400, boy, that's a lot of animal. But so anyway, he takes a rifle, and he's afraid, since these things are so large and in the field with cattle, he might kill one or two or several. And so he shoots, and here we're coming back to the skinwalker business, too. He shoots, and he said, I made it red. In other words, through the telescopic sight, he saw what looked like blood, an area turned red. But the animals, not the one that was hit or the other one, reacted to the shot or to the impact. They just kept casually walking. Eventually, they went through a fence and into the woods, and that was the end of that. He went down to the area, no blood on the ground at all. And he was using a powerful rifle. I mean, this would have done a lot of damage. And so the next day, another rancher, pretty close, reported that he had seen the same two, or what looked like the same two, and they were fine, and no sign of blood on them or anything. They were about 100 feet or a little more from him, and were seemed to be in perfect condition. So then, all of a sudden, the ranch to the north starts finding large clumps of white hair. So they call me. I immediately go down. I take samples. And very, very odd because, of course, I used my old English sheepdog as a subject or victim. And by mutilating her fur and putting it along in the microscope with the other, and instantly even I could see it was dramatically different. And so I started gathering all kinds of fur from all kinds of little creatures, and I did not harm any of them. And I did the same microscopic observations. Nothing matched, including a human hair, this stuff. Then a disc jockey on a radio station comes on the air, and he's in that area, and he says, I just saw something that I can't believe, and I know you won't. He said, I saw a 400 or 500 pound white animal And I just thought it was the biggest dog I'd ever seen in my life until it stood up on its back feet. And he said it looked, the only thing I could describe it as would be a polar bear. And he said long, long white hair and all this. But he said the head looked really different. And I haven't been able really to get a good description of the head from any of the people that have seen it. Two friends of the wife and I were driving down one of the roads there. And in the middle of the road, they see what they estimated to be a 500-pound or more large white dog-like thing, except the head looked different, and standing in the middle of the road. And he slams on the brakes. They slide up to within about 20 feet of it, good view. And he said it turned its head and looked at them. And they just kind of mellowed out. They said, you know, it just was at ease. And all of a sudden, it jumped from the middle of a 24-foot road over the 12-foot lane that they were in, over a ditch alongside the road, and landed on the embankment on the other side. And there was a woven wire fence. It didn't go over it. It didn't go through it, but it was no longer there. And believe it or will you, we actually have a photograph of the thing taken by the one of the rancher's daughters and her husband in daylight. And I got to tell you, it's pretty strange.
I'll tell you what, before we go on, let me ask you a fast question here before we split for our brief break. Do you have a copy of this photograph on display that we could see it?
No, I don't yet. Right now, I have a new website in the works, which should be up in about 2 weeks. And I'll be putting a lot of this stuff on it, including photographs of the tracks, plaster casts of the tracks. And the tracks in themselves are amazing because they're huge compared to any known animal living in that area or in the U.S. And they went into the ground an inch and a half, and which indicated a pretty terrific amount of weight. One of the ranchers found a trail of the tracks on ice across a 200-foot pond. It walked directly across the pond, and it looked like in the tracks that it had slipped going down the embankment outside the pond.
At least it's not superhuman. At least it's not superhuman. And we'll look at this creature case in a moment. Trace evidence researcher Ted Phillips joining us this week. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thousands of Americans are facing evacuation. If you or any of your loved ones might need to evacuate, you must do it yourselves. Please don't procrastinate until they do it for you. Remember the terrible conditions of those that didn't get out for Katrina. Go right now to efoodsdirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633 for information on the new evacuation pack. It contains 2 weeks of delicious, easy-to-fix food, along with the equipment to prepare it. It's packed in a rugged, heavy-duty tote for transport. Evacuations are looming with the storms and the Gulf oil catastrophe. No matter where you live, wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and storms must be escaped. Don't be like a deer frozen in the headlights of oncoming disaster. At least prepare yourself with this 2-week evacuation pack from eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633, on the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
10 years. A decade of talk. Great Talk Radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. Ted Phillips talking about strange cases of strange creatures. Chris, you want to pick up on that with him?
Yeah, this is pretty amazing stuff, Ted, especially with photographic evidence and physical trace evidence of a huge, oversized, almost, I wouldn't know how to describe a creature that you have been describing. It almost sounds like me, like the Skinwalker Ranch event where the rancher had this large, oversized wolf that tried to grab one of his calves through a fence, and he, at one point, I think he shot it a number of times.
And the important point in that one, Chris, is he didn't just shoot it. He shoved a .357 mag into the side of the thing and shot 3 times.
Right.
And there was no blood. There was no real reaction, like jumping in the air or making any screams. But it did turn loose the cow's head. That was a good thing. And as it walked off from him, he, his wife, and their grown son all saw this. And as it walked away from him, he got a .30-06 rifle and shot it a couple of more times with, as in the white animals at Marley, no reaction by the animal, but it was leaving tracks in the light snow. And they follow the tracks into a grove of trees. And they go on out into a field. They go out into the field about 30 feet and end.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, we're
amazing.
Not dealing with any kind of normal animal.
No.
Just the description, you know, and I have received three different witnesses. Well, actually, we've come to 8 witnesses in the 3 events of seeing this thing walking upright. And the tracks bear that out. One of the ranchers has hunted and has seen just about every kind of animal from here to Alaska. And I was at one end of the trail of tracks. He was at the other. And I said, "Do you see anything a little odd about these tracks?" And he looks and he says, this thing was on 2 feet. And I said, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a white Bigfoot or anything like that, but when you've got a photograph in daylight and all the tracks and the hair and all this, pretty interesting stuff.
What do you think is going on here, Ted? You know, I know that's a $64 million question, but, you know, in the case of the Skinwalker Ranch, for instance, you know, Terry Sherman and his family on numerous occasions observed what they described as an aperture-like opening about 40 feet that would open from the center and then create this what appeared to be an opening in the sky fairly close to the ground. Do you have any sort of descriptions from witnesses in the area of a similar type of phenomena?
Absolutely. And I'm totally overwhelmed when I see things starting to happen that happened and are happening at Skinwalker. There is what the owner calls the North Mystery Light, and this is an oval, orange, amber light source, very smooth, very sharp edges, and it's elongated to the horizontal, and it appears down at the treetops in this very same spot. Sometimes it'll appear just one night, and then it's a week or weeks. Two nights in a row, four nights in a row, and then this week's. But I have seen and photographed this thing a number of times. It's been reported. It's been observed for 117 times. This thing, looking at it through binoculars, is precisely like the guy at Skinwalker described. If you remember, it would appear in exactly the same spot, and he would go to the same tree stump, brace his arm on that tree stump, and look at it through the telescopic sight on a rifle. And he could see in this what looked like blue sky and trees or some sort of terrain, like he was looking into another world. And I haven't seen that in the mystery light, but every time I look at it, I'm expecting to. And there is, on the opposite side, to the south of the same area, a tremendously brilliant white light that comes on, and we've observed that for several times for up to an hour and a half, and we've tried to approach it, and the one rancher would watch, and he would see our headlights come on to another property 8/10 of a mile away, and he'd say, okay, you're 600 or 800 feet from it to the side, and we couldn't see it. And this thing was so bright that it totally wiped out the light monitoring system on my camcorder 8/10 of a mile away. And it had to reboot, for a better term, because this was so tremendously bright. And it turned the most intense red you've ever seen at the peak of brilliance. So we went everywhere up there, and he would guide us, and we would get almost to the object, and he'd say, it's starting to move. And it would move away. And this went on and on. And so I said, well, let's get back to the cameras. And if we know we can get shots, let's be sure we're getting them. Because the camcorder was still running over at the original site. And on the video, you can frame by frame see the changes. You can see the silhouettes of tree trunks in front of it. And I obtained one photograph that shows this kind of vertical brilliance. And behind it, a thing you could only describe as like a dome that's on the ground behind these trees. And the dome is made up of quite a number of oval amber lights. And this thing is large. And it looks to me like a structured craft with this brilliant light on whatever section is aiming south or north. And so I have a feeling, and Chris, you know, I would be one to be reluctant to talk about portals, but you got to go where the data points.
It sure sounds like something's opening up and similar to the Sherman Ranch case, that you're dealing with some sort of doorway. It's almost like the Sherman Ranch decided to move to Missouri.
Well, either that or it has a brother or something. Back to the big animal, you're asking, you know, what is it, why? And the more I'm convinced, strange for me to say, but the more I'm convinced that these portals, openings exist, my belief now is, based on the facts, as I can see them, that these things open up, obviously, I would guess, to allow things to come through or to go into, to make a connection to God only knows where. And sometimes if they're open up, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, why couldn't something from that point of origin just kind of stumble through?
Right.
And so you,
or crawl
you see
through like,
pretty odd
like
things.
Or crawl through like the physicist allegedly saw up at, in Utah, where it appeared to be a humanoid form that kind of like, crawled and lurks through the opening. Ted, this is probably, I think, this and the Sherman Ranch case and a couple of cases that I investigated sound to be real important keystone cases. And I think I speak for our audience when I say we really admire and appreciate all the hard work that you're putting in on this particular case. Having been there and done that, so to speak, in the field, I know that it just takes a tremendous amount of time and organization to do this type of work.
I'll tell you what, we'll pick up on this work and some of the other implications in a moment. Our guest is Ted Phillips. He is a UFO and paranormal trace evidence investigator. He's seen, obviously, quite a few unusual things. The co-host, Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We return with Ted Phillips. We're looking over the strange events over at Marley Woods, somewhere in the U.S. We're not saying where because of privacy and confidentiality, but lots of weird stuff's going on there. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Earlier, Ted, you were talking about humanoids seen in that particular region. Okay, let's talk about humanoids. What precisely are we talking about here? UFO grays, human beings, cavemen from the Geico commercials, what?
Well, I expect to see some of those eventually.
Especially the cavemen from the Geico commercial, because it failed as a TV show, so we've got to bring them back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good guys. I like their presence. Anyway, initially, the humanoid thing, which again now is not big there yet, but I have a feeling, a lady who ran a daycare center out in the woods, well, she didn't live in the woods, but her house was way out in the wooded area. And, one of the kids was out in the, yard playing with a basketball, and, this was daylight, and, he sees a tall, very tall, thin, humanoid go over a fence, 6-foot fence, didn't jump. He just kind of floated over the thing in one step and, came down on the other side. He stood there and looked at the kid, and the figure had a black sort of cloak and, a black hood, which is kind of odd for the summer in the woods. It would be pretty uncomfortable. But the thing walks right up to the kid, takes the basketball, and turns around and heads for its way back. Well, the kid's just screaming, not afraid of the thing, but mad. And so the lady comes out. She grabs a shotgun. And she said, I hit it. I had to. She said, that shotgun doesn't miss. And it didn't even react. It floated over the fence and went on back into the woods. And then another report comes along from a good friend of mine over there that I would believe about anything. He was walking home and from a friend's house, about a quarter of a mile, and he sat down on a rock to have a cigarette, and he sees very quietly passing 10 feet in front of him a group of these tall, thin figures with the black cloaks and so on, and they were walking in a line and just walked in front of him, didn't react to him being there or anything, and they walked on down a little path and were gone. And so anyway, I talked to the lady with the shotgun, very solid person. She filed a report with the sheriff, and sheriff said, you know, she's a reliable person. And so nothing else really happened with the humanoids until January the 15th of this year. And I had the distinct pleasure of kind of seeing one. And I'm not really saying anything more than that about it right now because it involves a personal observation, and I want to be damn sure that I've got everything straight before I say it is or it is not.
Yeah, I want to ask you one thing that occurs to me with all this. Now, it seems they're oblivious to anything that's going on around them.
Exactly.
By the same token, because of maybe the emotional furor in that area over weird things happening, could they just be normal people putting on hoods and playing around, trying to fool people?
Well, you know, I would agree with that, and that was my first thought. Until I saw the shotgun, and believe me, the distance from the lady who was on the porch to the point where this figure was at when she shot it, it without question should have been a mutilated humanoid.
Should have been an ex-humanoid.
Would have reacted to the shotgun blast.
An ex-humanoid, you're saying.
Very definitely an X. There would have been a lot of physical evidence.
Yeah, but plus, what about the basketball? I mean, if that's not a triggerish event, I don't know, you know, what is. Why would a tall, thin, hooded, cloaked humanoid float over a six-foot mm-hmm. fence, walk up to a kid mm-hmm. playing with a basketball, take the basketball, turn around, and leave?
I'd like to have an answer to that.
It's a pickup game, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Don't you know they're from the hood, and this is a pickup basketball game. I'm sorry, I just had to do that.
It sure sounds like the trickster to me. I don't know. And if there's groups of trooping tricksters, I think that's even more amazing.
Okay, can we get all the features described here? Do we just see the hoods and the tall, thin beings that are human-like, or do they have five fingers, et cetera, et cetera? Can we see those details?
Well, that was the problem with this good friend. He was sitting in the dark, and he could see the figures go by, but he couldn't really see any details. And the kid and the shotgun lady just simply said couldn't see a face. And so that doesn't necessarily mean there was nothing in the cloak. But I'll tell you, one thing that I've seen in great abundance down through the 46 years with trace cases and other cases is that now, you're talking about like a trickster, and I have seen a lot of things that we would consider tricks being played on the witnesses, and I've also seen displays, very strange displays, on the part of whatever this is to, in my mind, maintain some sort of control over the reactions of the owners of the property. I mean, that was pretty obvious in Skinwalker. I've seen it in Marley. And you do something so extreme that the witness has to be really set back on his heels and somewhat frightened. So I think there's a method for the madness. And since I don't know who they are or where they're from exactly, there are a lot of questions that I cannot yet answer. Now, if in the future we can disable a light ball or figure out some way to pin down a humanoid or a 500-pound animal, we'll be able to tell you something definitive. It's just like this whole business. It's always just beyond your fingertips.
What about speech? Do the humanoids make any effort to communicate by speech, telepathy, something?
No, not in the Marley stuff, no.
Okay. Now, do you see in your research this kind of being in other so-called window or portal areas around the country?
Well, I can recall. I couldn't pull up the specific cases. But I have on file in some of the trace cases back through the years, this is a long period, of very tall, like 7 foot, thin, human-like beings in the dark shrouds and so on. Yeah, I have ran across those cases. They're not plentiful.
No, there were
and
some.
And I really never paid a lot of attention to them, really.
Yeah, there were some in the 70s. Keith Wolverton, the sheriff up in Montana, had a couple of cases where hooded dark hooded figures were seen around cattle mutilation sites. David Perkins.
Really?
Yeah. Dave, of course, you're not going to see that mentioned in the NIDS report that they released on the Montana wave of mm-hmm. cattle death cases. But David Perkins also, I think it was south of Pueblo, between Pueblo and Walsenburg, witnessed a line of what he called like hooded monks walking along right in an area where mutilated cattle had been reported. This sounds, I'm, you know, if you had said that they were holding Bibles and then and chanting and hitting themselves in the forehead like in the Monty Python
yeah.
movie, that would almost make more sense to me than just walking by in the dark and not acknowledging the presence of the witness or walking up and taking a basketball. This is getting into some cross phenomenal type. You know, events that seem to be related because of the proximity of the events, but don't really make any sense in terms of what, you know, other types of things are being spotted. What's your thinking on this, Ted? I mean, you've been there, you've done that, you've got what it sounds like some, you know, groundbreaking physical evidence and visual evidence. What does your gut tell you or suggest to you is going on there?
I'll tell you what, before we get to gut feelings, we have to break for the hour and then maybe clean our guts as we get ready for this. Ted Phillips, UFO trace evidence researcher. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast for one more hour.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.